Okay, good evening, everybody. Tonight's shiur is sponsored by Mr. and Mrs. Toby Bernstein. Actually, Toby's sitting here with me, keeping me company today. Yasha Koyach for coming. Tonight's shiur, the title is Lifnim Mishures Adin. So Lifnim Mishures Adin literally means that we're going beyond the letter of the law. Lifnim Mishures Adin, actually, if we want to be accurate, Lifnim Mishures Adin means within, like as if you're leaving the din and you're going inside, you're going into a more special place where you're lifnim mishuras hadin. So let's learn about that. Let's learn what the nature is. And we have a very interesting machlekes here between the Rush and the Rambam that we're going to try to clarify. So before we start, so there's a pasuk in the Torah. The pasuk says, "Vizharta eshem esachukim." This is an item Aleph, if anybody has the Mara Mekoymus in front of them. His heart to Esen is Hachukim, is HaToyrois, V'hoidato lehem es HaDerech Yelchu Ba. The Pasuk says you should warn them, you should teach them the Chukim, the statutes, you should teach them the laws, and V'hoidato lehem es HaDerech Yelchu Ba, you should inform them of the proper path, and they should follow the proper path. Es HaMaaseh Asher Yasun, and again, you should inform them, teach them, the maisa, the deeds that they should perform. So the Gemara darshins from this as hamaase. So when the pasuk says you should teach them the deeds that they should perform, zehadin. This is referring to following the halacha, following the law. Asher yasun. The pasuk says an extra asher yasun that they should do. So it seems to be redundant. It already said as hamaase. It says the actions that they should do. Why does the pasuk repeat asher yasun that they should do a second time? So the Gemara darshins, Zulifnim Mishures Adin. This is teaching us that there's an inyan, there's a madrega to go beyond the letter of the law. So we have the pasuk itself emphasizes that we should follow the din, and the pasuk also emphasizes that there is lifnim mishures adin. So it's actually a Gemara in Bab Metzia. It's in Yana de Yoima before the 3 weeks that Lecharav Yerushalayim was destroyed. Because they were hamidu divrayim al din Torah, because they established, they kept the letter of the law. They never were mavater. They never went beyond the letter of the law. So it's actually an inyan, and it's a tremendous chus to be mavater, to give up, to go beyond the letter of the law. The Gemara gives a few examples of going beyond the letter of the law, and it's interesting how the Gemara presents them differently. So the first two examples, item Gimel and item Dalid on the notes. The first Gemara is Gemara in Bava Metzia, Lamed Amid Beis. So we have an interesting story. Rabbi Shmuel Barab Yossi, the great sage, Rabbi Shmuel Barab Yossi, Havi Ka'azel Ba'orcha, he was traveling on the way. Pogabe Hahu Gavra, there was a man, he met up with a man, Havi Dori Pischa Du'ufi. He was carrying a bundle of logs. He was carrying heavy logs of wood. Maybe he purchased the firewood, maybe he chopped down a tree. He was walking home carrying a heavy burden of logs. Osvinu, he put them down for a moment, become mitbach, and he was resting. Amalei doli li. So this fellow, he turned to the great Rabbi Shmuel Barab Yossi, and he said, help me load myself back up. So it was probably beneath the dignity of Rabbi Shmuel Barab Yossi to involve himself in carrying heavy logs, but Rabbi Shmuel Barab Yossi, he made the following offer. Omer le kamishavin. So Rabbi Shmuel Barab Yossi said, how much is the wood worth? Omer le palga de zuz. It's worth half a zuz. So yoyev le palga de zuz. So Rabbi Shmuel Barab Yossi, he actually purchased the wood. Instead of having to help load up the fellow, he did basically the next best thing, or someone could argue it's even better. He purchased the wood from this fellow. He gave him the palga de zuz. Now, Rabbi Shmuel Barab Yossi had no use for the wood. So afgura. So then he declared the wood ownerless. Rabbi Shmuel Barab Yossi expected that to be the end of the story. Hadar zacha b'hu. But then the fellow, he was a wise guy, he reacquired the wood. Hadar yoyev lei palga de zuz. So Rabbi Shmuel Barab Yossi offered, and again he purchased the wood. Yoyev lei palga de zuz v'afgura. So he gave him again another half zuz. He purchased the load of wood again. And he was mafgurit again. Hadar zacha b'hu. So this happened multiple times. The fellow reacquired the wood, and again he asked Rabbi Shmuel Barab Yossi to help him load up. Hadar yoyev lei palga de zuz Ba'afgrei. So Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi offered again, and he bought the wood a third time. So this has been going on multiple times. Chazya da have a kaboyla mahadar lemizkabahu. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, he realized that this fellow was out to acquire the wood a fourth time, and this would go on all day. Amalei lekuli alma afkarinu ulachol leafkarinu. So Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi said, I'm allowing anybody to take it, with the exception of you. I'm not allowing you to take it. I already paid you multiple times for the wood. I surely have no further obligation to you. I purchased the wood multiple times. It's hefker for the rest of the world, and it's not hefker for you. The Gemara there actually questions if there's a legal mechanism to be mafker something to everybody with the exception of one person, but that's not the topic of tonight's discussion. So the Gemara asks the obvious question. But Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi was a zaken, he was a sage, he was an elderly person, and it's not lefik foidoi, it's beneath his dignity to have to busy himself with helping to load someone up with the wood. We know, we actually spoke about this once, that there's a mitzvah of prika and te'ina. There's a mitzvah to help somebody load and unload. When it comes to monetary mitzvahs of this nature, returning lost objects, helping someone with his money, so the dignity or the honor of the person himself is just as important as the other person's money. That also has value. So you're not required to give up something of your own in order to help somebody else. When it comes to monetary issues, we're not referring to pikuach nefesh, we're referring to helping him monetarily. So you have to support yourself before you can be expected to support somebody else. So similarly, you're not required to give up of your own dignity in order to help somebody else. Now, there's an important litmus test for this. If this is something that you yourself would never do on behalf of your own object, then you're not required to do it for someone else either, because someone else's object is not more valuable to him than it is to you. And if you would never fetch and carry a walk it through the streets carrying a basketball or carrying a log of wood, if that would be beneath your dignity, you're not expected to have to do that for someone else, because why is his wood more important than your own wood? So we learn from Sukkim that a zokin ve'enu lefik voide is exempt from helping someone with his object if you yourself would never be seen publicly with such an object or doing such menial labor. So the Gemara answers, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi was going beyond the letter of the law. The Tani Rabbi Yosef, and then Rabbi Yosef brings the pasuk that we started with, es hamaase es din, asher yasun zu lefnei mishur es hadin. So we have a story in the Gemara where Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi went beyond the letter of the law, and the pasuk praises him for that because the pasuk says, zu lefnei mishur es hadin, asher yasun. Now we have a similar story, which these two stories go together, we'll soon see why. There's a Gemara in Baba Kama, Tzalik Testament Beis. Itmar, Hamara Dinar L'Shulchani. So in those days, you had a coin. The coin, the value of the coin was based on the metal content. So you would show the Dinar to a Shulchani, does the coin still have the same value? Should I accept this coin for the sale? And you would show it to a Shulchani, you would show it to a banker in order to ascertain the value of the coin. V'nimtzo Ra, let's say you showed it to a banker, to a Shulchani, a money changer, and it turns out the money changer made a mistake. So I accepted a coin. It turns out the coin was a dud. Tani Chada, one Brisa says, Uman Pater had Yitchai. That if you're an expert banker, and it was actually an oinus, it was beyond your control. The mistake that you made was totally beyond your control because you were an Uman, and nobody could be expected to catch this mistake. So then you're exempt. But if you're a lay person, and you presented yourself as an expert, and really you were not, so then you're chayiv, you have to reimburse the person for having coerced him, for having led him into this mistake to accept the coin that was a counterfeit or a dud coin, because you actually caused him damage. It's a shail of garmi, because you presented yourself as an expert. But if you're truly an expert, you're exempt. Tani idach, but there's another brisa, ben uman ben hedyut chayiv, that even an uman, even an expert, quote unquote, is liable. So Amar Papa, Rapapa explains, Kitanya Uman Pater, when is an expert exempt? Kigoin Danku Ve'isur. There were two famous money changers, there were two famous bankers who were super experts in the currency. And if they would make a mistake, then that's something that nobody could have done a better job. And they're the ones who are exempt. The Leitzrichel Migmar Kla. They knew everything there is to know about coins, and if they thought the coin was good, that's totally an ones, that was totally beyond their control, and they're the ones who are exempt. Elamai Tov. So then how did they make a mistake if they're such experts? Tov is Sech Sachadata, that there was a new minted coin that it was impossible to be that familiar about the coin. That's the background. Now the Gemara tells us, Hahi Itasa, there was once a woman, De Achazia Dinner L'Rabchia, and she showed a coin to Rabchia. Should I accept this coin? Or is the coin, is there something wrong with the coin? Amala Ma'al Yehu. Rabchia, he backed the coin. He said, the coin is a good coin. You can accept it. It's legal tender. You'll be able to use it. You'll be able to spend it. L'machar, the next day, Asoy L'Kameh, this woman came back to Rabchia. Va'amrele, Achazise, so I've been showing the coin. I accepted the coin. She sold something and accepted this coin in return at the on the word of Rabchia. And I started trying to spend it. Va'amrele, Bishuhu. And they said it was a dud. They said it was bad. And I can't spend it. They're not accepting it. So Amalei l'Rav. So Rabchia told Rav, his Talmud, Zil chal feinela, exchange the coin for the woman because of a pinkasi, and then let's write in a ledger, Dain Esek Bish, that you can't win them all. This was a bad business deal, that I made a mistake. This will go into the debit column. So I you can't win them all. So Rabchia says, he told Rav, give her, exchange the coin for her, and we'll absorb the loss. So the Gemara says, O Maishna Danko Ve'isr Debtiri. But why did Rabchia have to reimburse the woman? Rabchia was just as an expert as Danko and Isser, and he should be exempt. Mishum Dalei Tzrichi L'Migmar, because they didn't have to learn. Rabchia Nami Lav L'Migmar Kaboy. Rabchia knew everything there is to know about the coins. So says the Gemara, the same thing we said before. Rabchia went beyond the letter of the law. And again, the Gemara cites the same pasuk that we cited before. Asher yasun zu lefnim mishuras hadin. That this is the concept of going beyond the letter of the law. We're encouraged to go beyond the letter of the law. So we have two stories where Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yossi would have been exempt from helping this person load himself up again. But he opted to do it beyond the letter of the law. It's important to note that instead of actually physically helping him load up the wood, he offered to pay for the wood. We'll get back to that later. And then we have a similar story that Rabchia, the expert banker, he would have been exempt because it would have been considered totally an honest mistake. But he opted to accept the loss. He obligated himself and he replaced the coin for this woman, Lifnim Mishures Hadin. Now in both stories, the Gemara cites the pasuk from the Chumash, Asher Yasun, Zu Lifnim Mishures Hadin. So let's keep these two stories together on the side burner. Now there's another Gemara where the Gemara presents seemingly the same concept in a different way. The Gemara says the following: in Bava Metziah, Dalad Amadeis, Rabbi Yehuda havi shakel va'azel basrei demar Shmuel b'shuk de Beit Daisa. Rabbi Yehuda, the Talmud, was following his Rabbi Shmuel in the shuk de Beit Daisa. He was in a marketplace where they sold grain, a granary. What would the halacha be if I would find a wallet, a purse, full of money in this marketplace? This marketplace is a public thoroughfare. The Gemara there is discussing that if you lose something in a public thoroughfare, you invariably are miyayish, you despair of ever getting it back. Maybe a non-Jew will find it, maybe somebody who's not going to follow the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda will find it. If you lose something in Grand Central Station, you have no hope, you despair on ever getting it back. So he asked him the question, if I would find a valuable purse here, full of money, what would halacha be? Amalei harei elu shalom. So the halacha would be, like we just said, you would be allowed to keep the purse because the owner surely despaired. He was miyayish. He gave up hope. But then the Gemara continues, Bo Yisrael v'nosim basimimau. But what if a Jew actually presents himself and he's able to identify the purse? What then? Now he already said you can keep it. But what does he say now? Amalei chayiv l'achzer. Then you have to return it. Tarti, how can we reconcile these two psukim? You first told me that I would be allowed to keep it, because since it's a public thoroughfare, the owner certainly despaired. So how does it help? Why does it make a difference if the owner presents himself and is able to identify it? But we already ruled that he certainly despaired and gave up hope. So Omar Lay, so he explained, Lifnim Mishures Adin. I'm telling you that you have to give it back because there's a concept to go beyond the letter of the law. Now, if you notice the words of the Gemara, it says Chayiv Lahachzer, you would be obligated to give it back because you have to go Lifnim Mishures Adin, which is only, it's almost like an anomaly. If it's beyond the letter of the law, happen to tell me that I have to. Do I have to? Is it the law or is it beyond the letter of the law? So that's something that the place can discuss, how strongly we're encouraged to go lifnin mishuras hadin. Now, ki had the avua de Shmuel, a similar anecdote, the father of Shmuel, Ashka Chanechami b'madra, he found a donkeys in the desert, wandering in the desert. Adrinu l'morayel b'asit tresi arkeshata, and he returned it to the master after 12 months, where the owner certainly despaired, lifnin mishuras hadin. Now, in this Gemara, the Gemara says lifnim mishuras adim, but the Gemara does not cite the pasuk that we had in the Chumash. Over here, the Gemara simply says on its own that there's a concept, there's an inyan to give back the lost object, even though the owner despaired, lifnim mishuras adim. But the Gemara does not bring the pasuk that it was bringing every time from the pasuk from the Chumash. There's a similar story there. Rava Havishokal Ha'azal Basreder of Nachma. Rava was following his Rebbe Rav Nachman in the marketplace, in the leather marketplace. Amri lo b'shuka de Rabbanon. Some say it was the Rabbanon's marketplace where the Rabbanon used to gather. Amalei matza kan arniki ma. What would be the case if I would find a purse? Amalei harei elushlo, you would be allowed to keep it. Ba Yisrael v'nosim basimin ma. What if a Jew presents himself and identifies the wallet? Amalei harei elushlo, you're still allowed to keep it. Halei oimei v'tzoveh, but the owner is screaming. So the Gemara says, Nasika tzaveach ha-beisah shenofal v'al-svinosah shetovah b'yam. He's screaming, but that's like screaming over your house that collapsed or over your ship that sunk. Nowadays expression, it's like you're screaming over spilled milk. That just because you're screaming doesn't undo the fact that you despaired already. So this is the letter of the law, that the owner is presumed to have been miyayish because it was a public thoroughfare. And even though you're screaming and you're demanding it back, it doesn't help because you despaired from ever getting it back. So we have it that in the same exact case, you would be exempt, you would be allowed to keep the lost object, but on the other hand, lefnim mishuras adin, you should give it back. So the point that I want to bring out from this Gemara is that lefnim mishuras adin, you should give back the lost object after yiyush, after the owner despaired, but the Gemara does not cite the pasuk to back this up. So already we see that there's a second category of the Thnim Mishuras Adin. In the first case, the Zakein V'Eino Lefi Kvodo, where technically Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi would be exempt from schlepping the wood in the market because it's beneath his dignity. Over there, there's a concept of the Thnim Mishuras Adin because of Ya'asun is the Thnim Mishuras Adin. Rabbi Chia, who made a mistake, and he validated the coin, and it really was puzzle. It was really a counterfeit, or it was something wrong with the coin. He opted to reimburse the Thnim Mishuras Adin, but the Gemara cites the pasuk. Yasun is a Thnim Mishuras Adin. But in the third story, where it was after Yish, so the Gemara says there is an inyan of Thnim Mishuras Adin, but the Gemara cites no pasuk. There's no backing for that. It's just a svara. Why is that? Now there's one other Gemara that I want to look at. The Gemara says in Bamitzia, Pei Gimel Amin Aleph, this is a fascinating Gemara. Rabba Bar Achanan, Tavu Lehanu Shikuloi, Chavita Dechama. So Rabba Bar Achanan once hired some schleppers, some carriers, some moving men, and they were moving, they were carrying barrels of wine for him, and they broke the barrels. They broke the barrels. Shokal Iglimayu. So Rabba Bar Achanan, he took a collateral in order to be reimbursed for the broken barrels. Also, Amrle L'Rav, they went and they told Rav, the workers told Rav, Amrle, so Rav told Rabba Bar Chanan, Havlu Glimayu, return their garment, return their shirt, you can't take collateral. It's not right to take collateral. You can't make them pay. Amrle, Dina Hachi, is that the din? But they broke my barrels. Amrle, in, that is the din. Laman Telech B'derech Tovim, a different pasuk. The Gemara cites a pasuk in Mishlei. He returned their garments. He relinquished the collateral. So the workers say, we're poor. We've been working all day. We're hungry. And we don't have anything. So not only did they break his barrels, they're asking to be paid. So he said to them, pay them their daily wage. So not only did he convince Rabba Bar Chanan to relinquish the collateral, in other words, to waive payment, they broke his merchandise. Not only did Rav convince Rabba Bar Chanan to give up his claim, but now he's asking him to pay them for a day's work. Dina Hachi, is that the din? Amalei in, yes. But Orchais Tzadikim Tishmor. The Gemara brings a pasuk. The Gemara brings a pasuk in Mishlei. Bahacha Hevi HaGemara pasuk in Mishlei, and it doesn't bring the pasuk we had before. So we have three examples of the Thnim Mishuras Adin. In one case, the Gemara brings a pasuk in the Torah to show us that there's a concept to go beyond the letter of the law. In the second kind of case, the Gemara doesn't bring a pasuk at all. And finally, in Bab Metzia on Pei Gimel Amud Aleph, the Gemara gives us a pasuk from Mishlei, not from the Chumash, encouraging us to go b'fnei Mishuras Hadin. So what's the difference between these three cases, and why are there three madregos? Why are there three different levels? And why in one place do we cite the pasuk from the Chumash, another place we cite no pasuk at all, and in the third place we cite only a pasuk from Mishlei, from Divrei Kabbalah, not even from the Chumash? So Tosfos in Bava Metzia, Chavdalet Amud Beis, asks this question. Tema, Tosfos says, I'm baffled. The loy maisi krahachak, the maisi lekamon, bu'uvdu the Rabbi Shmuel, and in the uvdu of Rabbi Chia. So he's going in the second case, he's going on the story of of item hay, returning a lost object after Yish. So Tosfos asks the question, why does the Gemara tell us to go lefnim mishuras hadin without citing the pasuk that it cited in the other two examples, the case of the zafkin of enul fikvoidei and the case of marid dinar leshulchani, the case of Rav Chia where he replaced the coin? And Tosfos goes and asks further that at the end of Perek Umnin, that was the Gemara we just learned on Daf Pei Gimel, the Gemara brings a totally different pasuk from Mishlei, leman teilech v'derech toivim. That was the story where the workers broke his merchandise. Not only did Rav exempt them, but Rav required the employer to pay. And the Gemara brings a pasuk in Mishlei, and the Gemara does not bring the pasuk from Divrei Torah. So Tosfos gives us a very enlightening answer, and Tosfos defines for us what these three levels are. He identifies for us what these three levels are. The Yesh Loimar, says Tosfos, the Loimai Sikra Dasher Yasun. When is it appropriate to bring the pasuk of Asher Yasun? That was the pasuk that we brought with Rabbi Shmuel when he was exempt because it was beneath his dignity. Or the case of Rabbi Chia, where he would have been exempt to replace the coin because he was an uman, he was an expert. When other people would have been chayiv. Imagine if you're not Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yossi. Imagine if you're an average person and you have no qualms walking through the street carrying a burden of wood. You would have been obligated to help this fellow load up his wood again. Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yossi was an exception. He was an exception to the rule. He had an exemption of Zakein and Enlil Fikvoidu. So over there, the Lefnim Mishuras Hadin for him was to waive the exception, to waive the exemption, to obligate himself in what everybody else is obligated. If most people would have been obligated to help this fellow, and you have an exemption because it's for you, it's beneath your dignity, over there the pasuk tells you that it's noble to waive the exemption and obligate yourself in the mitzvah. The same thing applies to Rav Chia, says Tosfos. Ordinarily, if you paskin for someone that the coin is a good coin and you made a mistake, you have to replace the coin. Rav Chia was an exception. He had an exemption because he was a super expert like Danki Ve'isser. So he waived his exemption and he obligated himself to replace the coin like most people would have been obligated to. So when you're an exception, when most people are chayiv and you have an exceptional p'tur, then lifnim mishuras hadin obligates you to accept upon yourself the obligation. That's why the Gemara brings the pasuk of Asher Yasun, because it's a pasuk in the Torah that although the Torah gave you an exception, because you're a yotze min haklal, so you have an exception. So the Torah says, but there's an inyan to accept the mitzvah upon yourself anyway, because everybody else is chayiv, so you should accept the mitzvah upon yourself as well. However, the case of returning an object after 12 months, or returning an object in a public thoroughfare where there was yish, where the owner despaired of ever getting back the object, so then everybody would have been exempt in that mitzvah. There's nobody who's chayiv in that mitzvah. It's not a special exemption. There's no mitzvah at all. Over there, says Tosfos, kuli al mipturim, the whole world, everybody would have been exempt. That's why the Gemara doesn't cite a pasuk, because there's no pasuk telling you to do something that nobody's required to do. So that's why the Gemara doesn't bring a pasuk. However, it's a svara. It's a svara. We can derive it. It's an analogy. Just like the Torah says that when everybody's chayiv and you're exempt, it's noble to accept the obligation upon yourself. So the Gemara derives, so too, it would be lefnim mishuras hadin, to obligate yourself to return the lost object, even though nobody else is obligated to return the lost object. There's no pasuk for that. Now the Gemara at the end of Ha'umnin, the third category, where not only, where you were suffering a loss, not only are you to waive the compensation that's due to you, but you should even pay them for a day's work. That's totally above and beyond. So over there, it's not a svara, it's not a pasuk in Chumash, that's just a pasuk in Mishlei, that there's a very high level of lefnim mishuras adin, to do something totally beyond the letter of the law, if you're able to, if you have the money, if the workers are poor, like they said, if they're hungry, like they said, and you have the wherewithal to reimburse them anyway. So it's not worse than giving tzedakah, to pay them as if they did a good job. There's no svara for that. There's no pasuk in Chumash for that. That's just a pasuk in Mishlei. So to sum it up, in item Ches, I made a little sikum. There are three madregas, if you will. The first madrega is when most people are chayv. The mitzvah is there. There is a mitzvah to load this guy up with his wood. There is a mitzvah to reimburse the person for and replace his coin for leading him in the wrong path to accept the coin that's a counterfeit or a dud coin. If other people are obligated and you're exempt, so the pasuk says you should accept the obligation upon yourself. The second madrega, where everybody would be exempt, for example, after Yish, then there's no loss of money, return the lost object voluntarily, that's the second madrega where there's no pasuk requiring you to do it, but it's a svara, it's a rationale, it's the logical thing to do. The third level is when you suffered a loss, a tremendous loss. He broke your barrels of wine. And not only that, you're being expected to pay them for their job. So we still say to go lefnim mishuras hadin, but that's only because of an extra pasuk in Mishlei of derech toivim. That's not something you can expect of everybody. So we sort of already gave the taich. We already explained it, but let's articulate it clearly. The first category of Tosfos is to be machnes yourself into the chiyuv of acher. This is Ivan Tess. I embolded it in the font. Lahachnis atzmo etoicha chiyuv shel acher. The first level of the lefnim mishuras hadin is to include yourself in the obligation that everybody else is obligated in, not to take an exemption. Everybody else would have to help the person with his wood. You're exempt because it's not lefi kvoida. It's beneath your dignity. Don't take the exemption. Include yourself in the obligation that everyone else has. Don't use the exemption of a zakein, or don't use the exemption of an uman. That's category one. The second category is that there's no mitzvah. Everybody's exempt. Nevertheless, go beyond the letter of the law. Return the lost object, even though the owner already despaired. And that's chesed and tzedakah. There's no mitzvah for anyone. But return it anyway, because it's not worse than tzedakah and chesed. And then finally, where you had a loss, That's totally above and beyond. Now, there's a very interesting machlekes between the Rush and the Rambam. The Rush in Elul Metzias says, Yirali, this is item Yud, it appears to me, keeping the Patra Teres Azokain, because Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi was exempt, remember, what did he do? He didn't physically pick up the wood, even though that's what the mitzvah would have been for most people. He reimbursed the person. He just bought the wood, and he did it multiple times. So says the Rush, since the Torah exempts a zakein, ein loy lezalzel bechvoidoy, and not only does the Torah exempt the zakein, the sage, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi was a great sage, he's not allowed to lower himself in the eyes of the tzibur publicly and schlep the wood. It would be a zilzel in the kavod haTorah. Legabi didei shemizalzel lekavod Torah b'makom she'ein chayiv. If Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi is not obligated to schlep the wood, so it would be forbidden for him to schlep the wood because he's a sage. He carries the mantle of the Torah. He's not allowed to lower himself in the eyes of the people. The Torah exempted him for a reason, so he's not allowed to be mezalzel, to degrade himself and carry the wood. Says the Rush, that's why Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi gave money instead of doing it himself. The Rush says, a chacham shebo lasus lefnim mishuras hadin, if a chacham wants to go beyond the letter of the law, yevater mimamoinai, he should pay. He should pay for the load exactly what Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi did, and he should do what Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi did, but he does not have permission to be mezalzel b'kvoidoy. So it's fascinating. The Rush says, yes, there is a concept to go lefnim mishuras hadin, but because you're exempt, You're not allowed to, the Torah exempted you for a reason. You're not allowed, it would be unbecoming to lower your honor in the eyes of the people. Nobody would have expected you to do that. So for you, the right path would be to pay him for the load, but don't degrade yourself publicly and carry the load. However, the Rambam, in Hilchos Gzeila Va'aveda, Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Yud Zayin, does not say that. The Rambam says, Ha'hoilech b'derech toiv, ve'yasher, if a person wants to go on the good and straight path, he wants to go beyond the letter of the law. He should return the very lost object, even if it's beneath his dignity. So the Rambam does not say what the Rush says. When Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi paid, it's lav davka. That's what he decided. That was a personal decision, but it would not have been forbidden for Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi to physically engage in the demeaning labor. And the Rambam also says in Ritzeach and Shmiras Nefesh, he says, Zehaklal, Kol She'ilu Haise Shaloi Hayotoyin Uperek, if you would do it for yourself, then that's what we mentioned before, you're obligated to do it for your friend. Something that you would do for yourself, you have to do for your friend. But if you're pious, even if you're a prince, you're a prince of Israel, and you find your friend's animal crouching under the load, even if you're the king, if you're the prince, you should still lower yourself and pick up the wood. That's the right. So what do you see from the Rambam? The Rambam says that when there's an Indian to go lefnim mishuras hadin, you're allowed and you're encouraged to physically engage in the activity. The Rush holds that when you're exempt, because it's beneath your dignity, you're not allowed to lower yourself. The way to fulfill the beyond the letter of the law would be to pay for the load. But the Rambam says, no, you have to actually, the lefnim mishuras hadin is to actually get your hand, roll up your sleeves, get your hands dirty, and return the lost object, schlep the wood for the fellow. Now, the Shulchan Aruch and Chasha Mishpat, Paskins, there's a machlekes, the Rambam, and the Mechaber and the Ramah, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins like the Rambam, the way he usually does, that you should roll up your sleeves and you should busy yourself with the labor, with the physical labor, even if it's beneath your dignity. And the Ramah cites the Rush that you should not. So we have a machlekes, the Mechaber and the Ramah. We have a machlekes between the Rambam and the Rush. So if you're a Svardi, even if you're the Gadol Hadar, so you should help. You should get involved and pick up the wood. If you're an Ashkenazi and you're the Gadol Hadar, so then you should pay him and you should not lower your dignity in the eyes of the people. Machlekes the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam. Now in Shulchan Aruch and Siman Reish Nun Tes, there's another machlekes which we're going to tie into this machlekes. The Shulchan Aruch writes the following: Afal pi shemin adin b'makom shuroiv akum mitzuyim. When it's a public thoroughfare and the majority of the people passing through are non-Jews, Grand Central Station. Afilu nosan Yisrael simin, even if a Jew presents himself and identifies the object, ein chayv lahachzir, you're not obligated to return it, like we said, because the owner is presumed to have despaired of ever getting it back. It's after Yish. Toy v'yashir lasas lathim mishur esadin, but it's better to return it, lahachzir Yisrael shenos basimin, to give it to the Jew who can identify the object. The Rambam says that there's a mitzvah to return the lost object. That's what we saw. That's what we saw in the marketplace. They asked what the halacha was. Technically, you can keep it, but lefnim mishuras hadin, you should return the object. The Ramah says, if the finder is an ani, if the finder of the object is poor, and the person who lost the object is well-to-do, says the Ramah, you don't have to go lefnim mishuras hadin. So when do you have to return the lost object? This is a clause that the Ramah brings from the Mordechai. When do you have to return the lost object? If it makes sense. If the loser is poor, it's nice to return the lost object. But if the loser, the person who lost the object and despaired, is well-to-do, and the finder is poor, he's allowed to keep the object for himself after Yish, and there's no mitzvah lefnim mishuras hadin to return the object. So we have two machlokes in between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. The Shulchan Aruch says that, like the Rambam, that you're required to lower yourself. You're not required, but it's lefnim mishuras hadin to lower yourself and roll up your sleeves and return the lost object, even if it's beneath your dignity. Lefnim mishuras hadin requires you and allows you to lower your own dignity. The Rush says no, that you can pay, but you can't lower your own dignity. That's Machlekes, the Rambam and the Rosh, the Machlekes, the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. There's a second Machlekes, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't make any exception. If you want to go Lefnim Yeshua Sadin, whether he's wealthy and you're poor, whether he's poor and you're wealthy, there's always a mitzvah to return the object. But the Ramah, he makes a clause. There's only a mitzvah to return the object after Yish. This is after Yish. If he is wealthy, if he's poor and you're wealthy. But if he is wealthy and you're poor, then you can keep it for yourself. There's no mitzvah to give it back. So what's the machlekes? Why does the Rambam hold that you're allowed to lower your dignity and return the actual, whatever's beneath your dignity? And why does the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch not make any distinction after Yish if the loser is wealthy or poor? And why is it that the Ramah says that you're not to engage in the activity yourself when it's beneath your dignity, and at the same time the Ramah says that you only have to return the object after Yish if the loser is poor and you're wealthy, but if the situation is the opposite, that he's wealthy and you're poor, you're allowed to keep the object for yourself. So it would seem that these two machlekesin are dependent on one another, and just like Tosfos earlier said that there are two categories. One is to accept upon yourself the mitzvah, and one is simply to go beyond the letter of the law. So it could very well be that the Rambam and the Rosh and the Mechaber and the Ramah are arguing what the mechanism of the Fnim Mishures Adin is. The Rambam holds, like that idea that we quoted in the Tosfos, Lefnim Mishures Adin is to obligate yourself in the mitzvah. There's a mitzvah to return a lost object. There's a mitzvah to help your friend. So you can voluntarily, Lefnim Mishures Adin, obligate yourself in that mitzvah, even though the mitzvah technically no longer applies. That would explain why the Rambam says you can even lower your dignity. Because if you really have a mitzvah, then the biggest honor for a gadol is to do the mitzvah. So he's not lowering his dignity. On the contrary, he's fulfilling a mitzvah. Because according to the Rambam, lefnim mishures adin means that you can accept upon yourself the mitzvah. You can obligate yourself in the mitzvah, even though technically you're exempt. Once you're doing it as the mitzvah of a Shavas Aveda or the mitzvah of loading and unloading Prika V'Tiina, there is no degradation here if you're doing it for the mitzvah. That's the Rambam. That also explains why the Rambam does not differentiate between whether the loser is poor or whether the loser is rich. Because you're not doing it as a tzedakah. You're not doing it as something above and beyond. You're doing it B'toiras the mitzvah. You're doing it as if you're obligated. You're obligating yourself in an existing mitzvah. That's why the Rambam doesn't make a distinction about whether or not the finder is poor or wealthy, because he's doing it to return the object. He's not doing it as tzedakah. But the Ramah, the Rosh and the Ramah, on the other hand, they understand Lefnim Mishures Adin to go the way it sounds, beyond the letter of the law. You're not obligating yourself in a mitzvah. You're simply going above the letter of the law like an Indian of tzedakah. That's why it would make sense for the Rosh to say that you can't lower your dignity because of that. Because you're not doing the mitzvah of a Shavas Aveda. You're not doing the actual mitzvah of Prika and Teina. You're exempt. You're opting to do something extra. So you can't lower your honor to do something extra. And it would also explain why the Ramah says, in the name of the Mordechai, that if the loser is wealthy and the finder is poor, he can keep it for himself. Because he's not returning it through the mitzvah, he's returning it out of tzedakah, and therefore if he himself is an ani, it would make more sense for him to keep it for himself. So the concept here is lefnim mishures adin. Are you accepting upon yourself the mitzvah and waiving an exemption, or are you doing something extra like a tzedakah? It's interesting, because there's actually a machlekes, and this is also brought in the Mechaber and the Ramah. The Rosh says that it would seem obvious to him that lefnim mishures hadin, you can't force based on lefnim mishures hadin. You can't force. You can't force someone to go beyond the letter of the law. That's what the Rosh says. The Mordechai says that sometimes we can force you to go lefnim mishures hadin. The Beis Din has the right to force you when the Beis Din sees fit to go lefnim mishures hadin. The Beis Yosef says that the Rosh makes more sense. How can you force someone to go beyond the letter of the law? But the Bach says that we paskin like the Mordechai. And the Pischei Tshuva has a whole lengthy discussion, and the Pischei Tshuva seems to assume that we can forcefully encourage verbally. Everybody would agree we can verbally force you to go lefnim mishures hadin. I saw in the Minchas Asher from Rav Asher Weiss that he says that we sometimes find that the Chachamim establish a takana based on the Lifnei Mishuras Hadin. There's a famous halacha of Bar Mitzvah. Bar Mitzvah is that the right to first refusal, that the neighbor has the right to buy the adjacent property. So we actually force, even though it's Lifnei Mishuras Hadin, we force that. So the Lifnei Mishuras Hadin might sometimes be a guide for the Beis Din to establish a takana as well. So we discussed some of the perspectives of the Lifnei Mishuras Hadin. Is it something extra? Is it something that you're obligating yourself in an existing mitzvah? Does it depend if you're going to suffer a loss? Is it a pasuk? Is it a pasuk in Mishlei? And according to some, the Beis Din will force you at times to fulfill the mitzvah of Lifnei Mishuras Hadin. Yasher koyach, everybody.
Yasher koyach.